Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. Before we continue, let us just close our eyes in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be gathered together in our homes. And Lord, knowing that you said where two or three are gathered, there you are with us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will come and speak to us this morning. Lord, that you will come fill our hearts with your word. And Lord, that we will be bold to apply what we hear from you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. This morning I want to preach about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We've been celebrating Pentecost. But something that I really want to start off with is this question. Why do we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? If we think about it, there are millions of people that live their lives without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and many of them are very successful in what they're doing. They are successful in their careers, they're successful in their businesses, they are successful sportsmen. All these do it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want us to ask ourselves this question: why do we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? During Pentecost, we read that there was 120 in the upper room praying together in unity, in obedience to Jesus' command for them to wait for the promise of the Father. And as they were there praying, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and they were empowered by the Spirit of God. Jesus said something powerful. He said, "It is to our advantage that he should go away so that he can ask the Father to send us the Holy Spirit." And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. And there on that day, we see the birth of the church, and 3,000 people were added. So it is interesting to see how Jesus saw the fulfillment of this great prophecy of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. The fact that God would come and live in and through us. Something significant and powerful that Jesus said was far greater than his own presence. And we see how this powerfully manifested on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's purpose in us, I will personally summarize in this way, that there are two purposes of the Holy Spirit in us. The way I understand it is firstly, there is a relational aspect of the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us, and then there is an empowerment aspect of the Holy Spirit in us. Relationally, in that God now lives in us. He is with us always in a very personal way. In me, living with me, and I'm never alone because God is with me through His Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that teaches me, that leads me, that comforts me with His presence and actually assures me of my adoption as a child of God and my inheritance of eternal life. It's very powerful to have the Holy Spirit within us, personally having this relationship with Him. But then also we have to be honest that the Holy Spirit came to empower us to do something. So we need to ask ourselves, why do we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? And I want us to think about this question for a moment. And if I may make this personal, why do you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, something happened at Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that changed everything. Everything changed from that day on. But what exactly changed? One thing that I realized is that the Holy Spirit was not given so that I can be a better, more successful businessman. It was not given so that I can be a better teacher or a better plumber or a better engineer. It was not even given that I must be a better husband or father. The Holy Spirit was poured out so that I can become and do something that God desires and purposed me beyond the ordinary life. And yes, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things might help me to become a better father and husband. That was not the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, His empowerment in my life. It's interesting to note that Jesus lived an ordinary life up to the point that He was baptized and received the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. He already had a close relationship with God the Father. He was already a good son to Mary, and I assume He was already a good carpenter. But the day He was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended and remained on Him, something powerfully changed in His life. And we read of this here in Luke chapter 4, when we ask ourselves, now, what exactly changed? Here from verse 1, we read, and then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. First of all, we note that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, and something changed. We continue to read here from verse 14, Luke 4, verse 14, and then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee, and the news went out through all the surrounding regions, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. You see, something changed. Something radically changed even the life of Jesus after He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when He came back to His hometown, He went to the synagogue as usual, and He was given the scroll, and He opened up the scroll of Isaiah, and He went to the specific place. And I want us to read, to try and understand what exactly happened when Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. We see here in Luke 4 from verse 16, now He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Then He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written. And then He said the following things, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, Jesus was empowered, anointed to do something specific, to do the will and the purpose of God. And then we read on in verse 20, then He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue was fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so all bore witness to Him and marveled at His gracious words which proceeds out of His mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? You see, they were referring to the change that they could clearly see that was evident in Jesus' life, but they simply knew Jesus up to that point. They simply knew Him as ordinary Jesus. Ordinary Jesus, the son of Joseph. But from that day on, something radically changed when He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Something changed, and nothing would be the same from that point onward. Something changed when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples. They were ordinary men and women, afraid, hiding away, confused when Jesus would restore the kingdom to Israel, and not sure what they were meant to do. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and everything changed. Though being with Jesus for 3 years, often rebuked for their lack of faith and lack of understanding, denying Him, fleeing in the face of persecution and in hiding, something happened the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit powerfully empowered them. All of a sudden, they were bold, publicly confessing the Lord and preaching Christ, and God worked signs and miracles through them. They were once afraid, fleeing from persecution. Now they were unflinching in the face of persecution, not showing fear or hesitation in the face of danger or difficulty. You see, something changed when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, we read of Peter and John being arrested for proclaiming Jesus. This is the same Peter that just weeks ago denied Jesus, now being arrested for associating with him and proclaiming him publicly. And so we read here in Acts 4 verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to all of you and all of the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, who God raised from the dead, and by this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which man must be saved." Is this possible that it is the same man, Peter, that just denied Jesus for just being associated with him, now boldly standing before the Sanhedrin and saying, "Let all of Israel and all of the world know that there's only one name by which man can be saved, Jesus Christ." Yes, it is the same man, but something changed. Something happened in Peter's life. And we see this in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. See, something radically changed in Peter's life. The disciples did not start their ministry before they were filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And here is the thing. The disciples knew theoretically what they were meant to do. Jesus gave them commandment to go into the world and make disciples. But they did not have the ability nor the capacity within themselves to do this. Even though theoretically they knew what God wanted them to do, they knew what God instructed them to do, they didn't have the capacity. And Jesus knew that. That's why Jesus told them, "Do not do anything, but wait in Jerusalem until the promise, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you, because He will empower you to be my witnesses." Think about this. Jesus trained these men personally, for 3 years, full time. And that training was not enough. Jesus said, "It is not enough. I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes, and He will empower you to do what I have taught and commanded you to do." They needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Their training was not enough. Just like Jesus did not start His ministry either before He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Himself needed to be empowered before He could do the work of God, to pursue God's purpose, and to finish His work. In Acts 10, we read the following from verse 34. So again, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation among him who fears Him, and does what is right and acceptable to Him. As for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, for He is Lord of all, you yourself know what happened throughout all of Judea. Beginning at Galilee, after the baptism of John proclaimed." Where did it start? After the baptism. How? Verse 38, "how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him." You see, even in Jesus' ministry, it only began after He's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? We do not need the Holy Spirit to lead a normal life. We need the Holy Spirit to live a God-centered life. We don't need the Holy Spirit to lead a natural life. We need the Holy Spirit to lead a supernatural life. And one thing that I've realized is I don't need the Holy Spirit to live according to my will and my desires. But I realize I do need the Holy Spirit to live according to God's purpose and God's will for my life. That's where I need the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's will and to complete His purpose. How much more do I need the Holy Spirit to complete God's purpose and will for my life, to see His kingdom come? Often, we read how the disciples asked and prayed for God to fill them again with power and boldness. I have realized in my own life, I cannot pursue God and His purposes without the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that I need to daily ask God as I pursue this purpose and will for God. Not to live my life an ordinary life, but to live my life for Him. We all need the Holy Spirit. We need the empowerment of His Spirit. So how exactly do we do this? Well, you'll have to wait for next week. First, more importantly, we need to ask ourselves, do we really want to do the will of God? Do we really want His purpose to be fulfilled in our lives? Then, after we've asked this question, we can ask God for His Spirit to empower us to do just that. So this week, I want us to really meditate upon this question. Why do you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Do you really want to do His will? Succeed in the purpose for your life? That He has prepared beforehand the good works that we should live and do it? If that is you, I want us to prepare our hearts again and afresh as we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us again so that we can do His will, so that we can live not an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life for God, centered around Him, His purposes, and His will, to see His kingdom come. But first, let us ask ourselves this question. Do we really want to see His kingdom and His will come? Let us close our eyes. Father, thank You for today. Thank You that we can be reminded again of this awesome promise and reality of Your Spirit coming to live in us. And Lord, we thank You that You are with us and You're working in us. You're changing us to become more like Christ. But God, today we're reminded that the reason You're with us is not only to change us, but to empower us to do Your will. And so, Lord, I ask, Lord, that as we consider this, that we will again come to this place where we surrender everything and say, God, use me to do Your will. And God, so I pray in this week, Lord, that You will continue to speak to us. And Lord, that You will create in us an understanding and a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to be part of Your purpose, Your will, and Your kingdom. And Lord, and then we'll come and ask You, Lord, to fill us again with Your Spirit, so that we can do Your work and finish it in Jesus' name. Amen.